And he is touching that. He is touching the waters. He is creating heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So Elohim is the creator. So as I was thinking about that word, I said, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us right now, because right now, someone in this building, hallelujah, that is how we use God sometimes. We use him as the creator, meaning we use him as a genie. We say, God, I need you to create a job for me. We say, God, I need you to create a spouse for me. And everything has its time and its place. But sometimes we wear it out. Sometimes we go too far when we want the genie to just respond to our every need. Hallelujah. That we need a new job. We need a new car. We need that new pair of shoes. Oh, God, if I just had a little bit more money, I can do this and I can do that. If I had a little bit more this. But some of us in here, some of our saints, we've uttered the words, God, if you don't do nothing else, you've already done enough. How many of y'all done said those words? God, if you ain't do nothing else, come on, church folks, you've already done enough. Hey, is that true on today? Because somebody gonna leave this house and want something else. Somebody gonna leave this house and want God to create something else in their life. So we have to think about the things that we say. If we say, God, you've already done enough, so why are you still asking for stuff? Hallelujah. Because when God the creator, when Elohim created things, when I say there's a time and a place, there was a time where what he did, he stopped, right? Because everything was created. So in your life, it's a time where you can stop going to him. Stop asking the creator to be at your beck and call. Hallelujah. It's going to make sense as I go through. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hey, not God. Because I gave y'all the create when God was creating. I said it was Genesis 1 through chapter 2, where you see God all through scripture. God did this. God did that. And then we get to the third verse, something begins to shift. I'm going to need y'all to go back and just read your Bible. Something begins to shift. And as I was reading, my head said, that's very interesting, Lord. So in that same third verse, something begins to shift. And when I thought about that, that's when I said something should begin to shift. God is about to say, okay, now I've created opportunities in your life. Hey, okay, now I've given you things. I've given you this and that. I've given you the things that you've asked for. And I've even given you things that you didn't ask for. Because I'm just good. I just put an extra topping on it. I gave you some more stuff so you can shut up. But Lord, now God is about to knock at your door. Now Lord God is about to knock at your door. You see the shift. Now, Lord God is about to knock at your door and get real personal with you. Now, in that third verse, it shifts from God to Lord God. This is where you see Lord. If y'all see my shirt, I'm getting into it. This is where y'all see Lord coming to the house, coming to scripture. So when you read Genesis 2, and it goes from 4 all the way to the third chapter, you see Lord in scripture. You see Lord God begin to show up in scripture. Hey, God. Who God? Because in those verses, in that third verse, as it goes into that fourth, God has stopped creation. Now he stops and he looks around and he said, Lord God looks around and he said, everything I've done is good. Hallelujah. Lord is that personal God. Lord is that Yahweh God. Hallelujah. Elohim is the creator. So you have a personal, powerful creator that stopped and looked around at all of his creation and said, okay, that's enough. I'm good. Heaven and earth is made. Now God begins to, as he go through scripture, he begins to what? Create man. He goes on and begins to create. He begins to breathe life, as you say. So then in those same verses, in that third chapter, 1-5, you see the serpent come in. And this is where my head said, that's very interesting. Because as I told you, Lord God had entered into the scene. But then when that serpent started talking, he go back to the creator. He go back to calling him God. And guess what that woman did? She did the same thing. She went back calling him the creator. Forgot that he that came into the scene and said, Lord God. Because when I say something is about to shift, I mean God is trying to do something with y'all. God is trying to enter into your life, but you keep him as Elohim. But Lord God is saying, I'm coming in, I'm trying to be personal. But Satan will come in and try to keep you thinking you don't need a personal relationship with Lord God. Because that is when things begin to shift in your life. That is when the enemy can begin to die. That is when things begin to fall off, when you begin to have that personal relationship with him. Hallelujah. So the serpent says God, and that woman says it as well. And then Lord God comes back into scripture. After they're talking, then Lord God comes back into scripture in verse 8. And you will continue to see him throughout those scriptures all the way till you get to 49:18. You will continue to see Lord kind of pop up in scripture. Hallelujah. And when you get to 49:18, that is the last time in Genesis that Lord shows himself. That is when Jacob is praying, when he's giving out his blessings. In that 49:18 verse, that is when Jacob is praying over his children. Jacob, who has turned to Israel. God renamed him, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the midst of him blessing his children, he says, oh, Lord. In Genesis 49:18, he said, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. He said, I have waited for you to restore my relationship. This is salvation, to restore something that was lost, O Lord, to renew my relationship, O Lord. He's not only praying for himself, but he's praying over them children, because he knows for sure them children need prayer. Oh Lord, they gonna mess up. In the midst of me blessing, he said, oh Lord, they stumbling. Oh Lord, don't stop coming in checking on them. Oh Lord, be that personal God that they need. Oh God, I praise you. Hallelujah. You don't see Lord again until Exodus. He don't come back into the scene until Exodus 3-2. And we all know about the burning bush. Hallelujah. If you don't know, that is where the bush was on fire and God was able to speak to Moses. So as we go through Exodus, when we started with that 3-2, and we move all the way up, it's talking about plagues in Exodus, talking about releasing the Israelites. Exodus is talking about crossing that Red Sea, right? Exodus is talking about Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, when Moses goes up and he comes down and they worshiping the golden calf. The oh Lord, that is why he was praying. He said, because these people gonna fall off. He came down and saw all of that. Idol worship. So here is where the preaching comes in. Y'all ready? Exodus 34:4-7. Hallelujah. Exodus 34:4-7. And it says, so Moses chiseled out two tablets in stone like the first one. Now, I'm going to need y'all to know, so it says like the first ones, because this is the second time that he has to carry these heavy stones on the behalf of the people. So when y'all read those scriptures, sometimes we take these movements lightly. We take the fact that Moses or somebody that's praying for you, somebody that's walking this walk with you on your behalf, that is trying to help you carry these burdens, that he had to go up this mountain. That was not a light defeat. Try to climb a mountain, hiking when there was different elevations and start taking your breath away for those that got asthma. That's how you start sounding. You can't breathe. Those tablets are made of stone. For those that exercise or walk with weights, it's heavy. So this is his second time going up. And it's crazy because when he came down the first time and he got angry, it gave me the visual of Jesus in the temple. When he just started throwing, he threw down the tablets and I thought about Jesus throwing over the table. I got those connections. Because God didn't even get mad. He said, these people, that's okay. Come on, Moses, let me tell you what to do. So that's the key thing I need y'all to know. God is always going to give you instruction. So he chiseled out two tablets, meaning he had to chisel out these tablets from a stone, y'all. These tablets ain't paper. They weren't pre-made. He had to make some paper. Hallelujah. That's some hard stuff. And then he told them early in the morning, he climbed Mount Sinai. So as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. And the fifth verse says, then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. Oh God, you not fit, oh Jesus. So the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. And he called out his own name. Y'all don't see the power in there. Y'all better dissect scripture when you read it. He came down to Moses and he called out his own name. What is the significance of him calling? Why are you going to stand there and in front of somebody and say, Tony, what is the significance of you calling out your own name? My God. Hey, God. So he called out his own name. He said, Yahweh. And it does something to me, even just seeing it in the scripture. He said, Yahweh. It's going to make sense. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh. The Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. He said, I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the 3rd and 4th generation. Oh, Lord. Hey, you see why he's praying over in Genesis. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, God, I thank you. So I'm going to give y'all a little disclaimer. So by tradition, Jews did not speak the name W-H-Y-H. Hey, they did not speak it out loud, considering it to be too holy. Because the commandments say, do not use God's name in vain. So because of that commandment, they took it real little. They took it real personal. They said, we will not even utter this name. This is why you will see Adonai. This is why you will see in modern Bibles, like the Bible you're holding right now, you will see Lord. That's just so that you can see a physical name. Because they didn't want to pronounce it. They didn't want to say Yahweh. Because even the spelling of it, Y-H-W-H. Hey, God, I know some people in here already know. Like, how do you even pronounce it? Because God didn't have no vowels in his name. When God stood down in front of Moses, what did that even sound? What did that even feel like? When God stood there in front of him saying, yeah. So when Yahweh calls his own name, when he calls his own name, he is declaring who he truly is to you, to me. When he shows up in scripture, I need y'all to take this thing personal. That when God shows up as a personal one to you, when he shows up as Yahweh, He's trying his best to show you who he truly is. He's defining his character and covenant. he's showing that he initiates. He initiates relationships. And I'll show you that as I continue on. Like I'm going to explain and connect all this stuff that I've just read. He initiates relationships, revealing that he is consistent, he is merciful, that he is a just God. That even though he said, I will not excuse sin, God is still just because he will forgive it. Hi, God, that he will enter into a relationship with you, that by saying his own name, he is proclaiming a name to be known. He wants you to proclaim a name that you can trust, that you can always remember. Oh, that's powerful in that. He wants you to remember his name. It's one of the most profound moments in scripture, y'all. When he comes down in the cloud, when he comes down, God, come down for me. Amen. Who, God? Amen. And just stand in front of me. Hallelujah. And say your name. Yes. God is not just giving information to us. God is giving his whole self. He is coming down trying to give you his all in all. When he came in that burning bush, he was trying to spark a relationship. When he comes in that cloud, he is trying to soothe something in you. Oh, God, I praise you. Because throughout the scripture read, throughout everything that I've read, you see shifts. You see those shifts from Yahweh personal, forgiving, covenant, relational God, compassionate and slow to anger, to that Elohim, that universal power and authority, the almighty creator. You see those shifts because there's a time for everything. So Lord God reveals himself as an intimate God. When he breathes into Adam. When he breathes into Adam. Unlike in Genesis 1, when he just speaks, let there be. You see, as Elohim, you see God at work. Hallelujah. You see him working through scripture. You see Elohim working through your life. You see him doing things and moving situations and shifting some things on your perimeter for you in your life. Elohim is doing it. Hallelujah. Glory. So when he breathes into Adam, Yahweh's spirit is going in. So in Genesis, you see Yahweh Elohim, that is Lord God. When you hear me say Yahweh Elohim, that is in your scripture, you will see Lord God trying to have an intimate relationship with Adam and Eve. Hey, he's trying his best to have an intimate relationship with you on this day. And then how the serpent comes in and then shift that thing and calls him God and the woman follows. And it's like Satan don't want you, as I mentioned before, to have a relationship with Yahweh Elohim. And so when I say that God initiates, because as you know in Genesis, when they eat of that forbidden fruit, Yahweh begins to walk in the garden. He's looking for you. He's calling out for you. Even in the midst of your sin, even when you just did it, God is saying, come in, Pastor. I'm looking for you. I'm in the garden trying still to initiate a relationship with you, even when you stumble, even when you mess up. We got a God that is called Yahweh that will come in and initiate a thing. Sometimes y'all say, God, where are you? It's because you didn't go to him when he tried to initiate, because you know in scripture they went and hid. They turned their backs. So don't you ever say God is not there. God is always trying to get your attention, because that is what Yahweh means. He's a personal God. His breath was in the flames, making it burn stronger. What keeps the fire when it's a huge fire? What keeps it burning strong? Oxygen. God's breath was keeping that flame burning. Y'all got to understand, when Yahweh breathes, there is life. Hey, God, there is something big that is going to happen. When Yahweh breathes. Who, God? Jesus, that lets me know that he is always wanting a relationship with us. Just like that burning bush, God is saying, I'm trying to breathe into your nostrils. I'm trying to ignite that fire. Hallelujah. You just got to allow me in. Yahweh said, let me have a relationship with you on today. So that when that fire begins to consume, it will burn up everything that doesn't belong of him. And they only keep the thing that is of his will. God said, I will keep that thing lit as long as you allow me to breathe.
Yeah.
Oh, God, they not feeling me on today, but I feel your presence right now breathing on me, Lord God. And I thank you for your breath of life on today. Oh, God, I praise you. Hallelujah. I got two handcuffs, and I praise you for that, Lord God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, God, I praise you. Every time you need to think of it this way, every time you you should be lighting a fire. It should be stoking something in you. Amen. If something ain't stoked, that means that relationship is off. Yeah. When you breathe, you should be breathing his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember about 5 years in my walk, about 5 or 6 years into me being saved, we used to meet in the temple. It's this little thing my husband put together in our backyard that we used to have Bible study. And I remember being in that room, and the Lord would give prophecies. Hallelujah. And the Lord gave me a prophecy. He said, I need you to have divine completeness in me, in God, in Yahweh. He said, I want you to get to know me. So at that time, I'm like, I know you. Because I'm running fire for the Lord. It's like, I'm doing things. I'm moving. I'm having the Bible studies. I'm in my word. God said, no. And I didn't even completely understand then what he was trying to tell me. And on today, you may not even completely understand what God is saying when he's saying, have a relationship with me. Get to know me. Because I was thinking, I was like, okay, I got to read more. I got to do this more. What does it mean when God said divine unity in God or in Yahweh? Hallelujah. But on this day, I understand it so much more clear. Because we will try to figure things out and try to do the work, instead of trying to just have a relationship. Just sit with him. Just let him talk to you. Let him forgive your mess. And then let him help you walk. Like, he will hold your hand when you're walking on that beach. When you're sitting there just looking at waves, he will begin to speak to you. If you would just open up yourself and let him breathe. Oh, God, I praise you. Hallelujah. So calling Yahweh, inhale, ooh, I just can imagine him calling his name. Calling Yahweh is breathing right now. Think about it. When God came in front of Moses in that cloud, it's like a gush of wind breathing out the name of Yahweh.
Yes.
Within the breathing which gives life, you not only feel his presence. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You not only feel his presence and who he is, but you hear him speak. You hear Yahweh when you breathe. He's speaking to you right now just because you are breathing. Oh, God, I've been taking this thing so serious. I've been taking it. This God that I call Yahweh, that I'm going to try to fix my mouth every time to say, because it just calms me. It calmed me all through these weeks, all through this hormonal crap. It calmed me. Because saying Yahweh, you are saying that you know a God that is proclaiming. He's saying, I am compassionate. He said, I am merciful. Hallelujah. God is saying, I am. And these are not just words that I'm saying. These are his exact words in his exact scripture. When he spoke to Moses and revealed his personal self, he said, I am a God that is slow to anger. I am a God that is filled with unfailing love. I am a God that is just. I am a God that is unchanging. I am a God, hallelujah, that is eternal. I have been there since the beginning, hovering over the waters, breathing life into man. I am God that came down from heaven to destroy death. I am God that said, Lazarus, get up. I am God that has been there through it all, calling his own name, signals intimacy. Oh, God, I want to be intimate with you. I want to be whole with you. Calling his name. He wants his people to know him personally. He wants to be incomplete. Not halfway. Not a little bit. I don't even know math. Not two-thirds. Not one-quarter. Not all that stuff. He wants to be whole. Hallelujah. A complete relationship with you. Not just as a title. He don't just want to be a title in your life. He wants you to know him. Capital K-N-O-W. Know him. That he is the great I am. That being pastor, being mom, being a boss, or being sister or auntie, those are my roles, my titles. But being Tara, do you know who that person is? Do you know Tony? Do you know Takiya? Do you know these people on an intimate level? So God is trying to say that get to know Yahweh. Because it's so much better than getting to know little Tara. Hallelujah. When you get to know Yahweh, it's calling God. Hallelujah. Because when you call it God, God, it just describes who he is. He's God. When you say God, when people talk about God, you have to ask people sometimes, what God you talking about?
Right.
Because God is just a title. But when we think of God, we think of the God of Israel, the God of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. We think of that God. But God said, when you say the name Yahweh, you are using his name and it reflects who he is in relationship to you. It reflects who he is eternally to you. So when you, and I'm coming in, Pastor. So when you took your first breath, I need y'all to know when you took your first breath, you was calling out his name. He was there with you. Hallelujah. Yahweh is there in every breath you take. And he will be there the last breath you take. And those that have been next to someone on their deathbed and watched them leave this earth.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You should be able to testify to this. I was there when my dad left this earth and took his last breath. Hallelujah. That should send you some comfort. Hallelujah. That in every aspect of this life, when you breathe, you are calling on the name of Yahweh. We just breathe his name when we We just breathe it because we live it. When you are sad and or anxious, when that heartbeat start going, you are calling on Yahweh. And I'm saying this because I need y'all to take y'all breath seriously. I need y'all to take Yahweh Elohim serious. When you don't know the words to pray, your silence itself is calling out his name. So as I sat on my bed and just was silent, I began to just think on Yahweh. That see and feel Yahweh in every moment of your life. But I need y'all to be intentional with this thing. When I say that this thing, it struck me differently this time. When I say he ministered to me so much just by breathing, just like, I don't want to take his name in vain. So I'm going to be intentional with every breath I take. Don't let your breathing be in vain on today. Please, I'm standing on this mountaintop. I'm shouting out to you. And I'm saying, don't let your breathing be in vain on today. Because when you take your last breath, hallelujah, what was your breathing in between like? Was it a reverence unto him? Or were you ignoring every breath you took? Recognize the name you are breathing on today. Talk to him. Obey him. Live every single breath for him. Because just by breathing, he is trying to initiate a relationship with you. When Yahweh speaks his name, he gives identity. He gives life and relationship. When Jesus said, I am, he is revealing Yahweh in human form. And when the Holy Spirit comes and breathe that same life and the name into us. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit comes, y'all know about when it comes and breathes and it dwells in us, that breath is proclaiming Yahweh. So I know our pastor is going through Jesus is God on today. So I just connected that Jesus is Yahweh. The Holy Spirit is Yahweh. Everything is connected to this breath. Hey, God, I praise you for being the great I am, for introducing yourself to us. So as we began to go into altar call, hallelujah, I need y'all to think about everything that I just connected from Genesis to Exodus. Every breath that God has breathed, everything that Yahweh right now means to you in your breathing, take the time to, you will feel something. If you take the time when you breathe and think about Yahweh while you're breathing and just not just breathe, because every day you just breathing. So now on today, I'm asking you to think about your breathing. Think about God trying to initiate a relationship with you through your silent sitting as you just breathe. Because you're going to do it every day you wake up. So don't take it for granted. Amen. Oh, y'all come on and get a Lord a hand clap and praise.